Very good. Welcome to everyone. And it is absolutely a privilege and an honor to be here with you today. Thank you so much. Wow. I love step three. Absolutely love step three. My name is Dawn B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Just a tiny bit about my, why I'm here, why I've shown up at this meeting. I started in OA back in the late 1970s, if you can believe that. When I was 19, I came in these rooms, and I'm one of the slowest learners you'll ever come across, though, because it took me 34 years in these rooms before I was able to get the message, and before I was able to get abstinent for any length of period of time. And but finally, I got the message that, you know what, I am going to die in this disease. My heart was doing all kinds of strange things. I could barely make it up a flight of stairs. I was angry at fighting everything and everyone. And then finally, I realized this will kill me. It will absolutely kill me. And I needed to clearly identify all of my alcoholic foods and behaviors and put them down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs a life preserver and work this like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. And that's what I did. And I'm down over 120 some pounds from my top weight. And I'm at a normal body weight now. I don't need to lose any more weight. All thanks be to God. And I've been abstinent now for 12 years. And that is absolutely, I cannot believe that. This is not, anything remotely resembling my success. This is God doing for me what I absolutely could not do for myself. I am a skid row, dumpster diving, compulsive overeater, throwing food away, going back into the dumpster with my legs up in the air, trying to find that food and dig it back out so I could eat it. I had to resort to putting Dawn dishwashing liquid on my food before I would throw it away, because I knew I would go back into it. If there was any possible way, I would dig it back out of the trash. This went on, like I say, for decades in the rooms. I could not get abstinent for any length of period of time. And but now, all thanks be to God. And I had to get to that point where it was just right in front of my face. This will kill me. This will take you out, Dawn. The writing is on the wall. What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want people to remember you by? Do you want people to remember you as someone who is lost in their addiction, who is fighting everything and everyone, who is angry, much of the time? Do you want your family to remember you as one they needed to walk on eggshells around, who would make up excuses of why I could fight with them so that I could go off and be alone with my food? I did not want that life. I needed to be there for those around me. I'm also a mother of four young adults. Three of them have autism, one very, very severe. Both my sons are of the severity that they may never be able to live on their own. The two that are higher functioning also have mental illness. They have schizoaffective disorder. My husband is a cancer survivor on a feeding tube with ongoing chronic health issues. But the truth of the matter is, I am living a life beyond my wildest dreams. Not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps and through the relationship with my higher power. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And step three is a huge part of my recovery and of, this beautiful program. To me, it's the heart of the program. I don't want to be biased, but I am. I love step three. So let's take a look at step three. Made a decision to turn my will. And for me, my will is what I want, and it's my thinking. So I'm making a decision to turn my thinking and what I want, and my life. So everything that would be my life means to me everything. So people, places, things, everything. I'm making a decision to turn all these things over to the care of God. And you know, in the original manuscript, Bill Wilson wanted to put in there the care and direction of God. Everybody else wanted to no, the alcoholics aren't going to be want to be told what to do. So just put care down there. So he said, okay, I'll agree to that, but then you need to not change the rest of the book. And you'll notice how many times later on in the book the word direction is used. And direct my thinking, and so over to the care of God as we understood God, as we understood. And so, however you understand God, step three is you turning it over to God. My little plans, my little designs, I'm now turning it over to God and saying, you know what? Comparatively speaking, I am blind, but my higher power sees perfectly. I don't know. What I have learned through working these steps is I don't have any idea what needs to happen next in order for God's will to be the end result. In order for God's will to be the end result and the greater good, I have no idea what needs to happen now. In fact, starting with my compulsive overeating, I would say that was the worst possible thing to happen to me. Who would ever want that? But you know what? I have grown so much as a result of that. I have learned so much. I have evolved as a human being. It has been one of the biggest, most huge, fantastic gifts I've ever been given is to be a compulsive overeater and to go through this process from all the learning and growth that has taken place. So it's clearly obvious. I don't know what needs to happen next. I do not. My daughter, when she was taken to the psychiatric ward, she was having a psychiatric break. Them taking her, strapped her to a gurney, and took her off, and she was screaming at me, "Don't let them do this. How can you do this to me, Mom? Stop them." I had to practice step three. I had to just say, "God, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done." And I just had to surrender what I thought needed to happen and just turn it over and put it in God's hands and put her in God's hands and just say, "I am blind. You see perfectly. Your will be done, not mine." And when I do that, when I surrender in that way and give up my little plans and designs, I can then be of service. I can relax. I don't have to start, I don't have to be forcing my will. I can just relax and say, "Your will, God, whatever it is, whatever your will is, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say thank you. May your will be done, not mine. May your will be done, not mine." And that just brings a peace to the situation. So I'm not struggling. So on page 62 in the big book, it says our troubles we think are basically of our own making. And it's talking about step three here. So I make my own trouble when I resist reality, when I try to control everything and everyone. I didn't realize it, but I had this idea of the way life worked was if you think of a solar system with the sun in the middle and all the planets revolving around the sun, well, I was in that middle position and everything was supposed to revolve around me. And so I could be rightfully ticked off when my son wasn't doing what I thought he needed to do, when my daughter's life wasn't where I thought it needed to be, when my husband wasn't doing or saying what I knew he needed to do. I could be rightfully ticked off. Of course, I could be because I'm in the center and everything is supposed to revolve around me. And what this program has taught me is that no, sweet one, precious Donnie, no, sweetheart, your higher power is in the center and everything is supposed to revolve around your higher power. And so my job now is not to try to get my will to be done. My job now, and what I learn in step three, is my job is to try to make sure that my higher power's will. Whatever my higher power's will is, that's what I'm supposed to be working towards. That's what I'm supposed to be. And it even goes on to tell us more about that. So it says, This is the how and the why of it. Instead of me selfishness, self-centeredness, self-will run riot, instead of that, and the only way I can get out of that is with God's help. I can't change that part about me with wishing or trying. It says at the bottom of the first full paragraph there on page 62, wishing and trying, no, I have to have God's help. And this is the how and the why of it. First of all, I have to quit playing God. Why? Because it does not work. I have to stop pretending that I know the way everybody's life needs to be and they need to do it, or else I'll be ticked, and rightfully so. No, I have to stop doing that. Next, we have decided hereafter in this drama of life, God is going to be our director, and you'll notice that word director there. God is going to be our director. You know, out here in Southern California, we do have a lot of movie sets, and the director is the one that gives the actors the script, tells them how to act, and as it describes in step three here, we're trying to. What we're doing is we're basically trying to be the actor, but we're trying to run the whole show. We're coming in, we're inventing our own lines. We're not reading, what our director is handing us the script, telling us what to say. We just go ahead and make up our own lines. We decide on our own storyline the way we know it's supposed to be, and we start yelling at the other actors, telling them they're not doing it right. And making a real mess of things and a real confusion. And what I can do with God as my director, I can pause and say, God, help me to see this situation more like you would have me see it. What's my line here, God? What would you have me say? How would you have me act in this situation? Help me to see this other person more like you see them, God. Help me to love them as you would delight in me loving them. What's my line, God? What would you have me say? God is my director. And it also goes on to say, God is my principal. So principal, and we are his agents. So principal is a word that Bill W. chose here because it comes from the financial world of Wall Street. And the principal and the agent. The agent's legal responsibility is to work for whatever the principal's goals are and best interest is. So it's my legal responsibility. It's my job to work for whatever God's goals are, not my goals. I'm to be working for whatever is in God's will and purpose, whatever best interest is in God. That is my job. That's what I'm supposed to be spending my time doing, is finding out what is God's best interest, what is God's will, and doing that. That's my job. It's a very different way of looking at life. So, and then it goes on to say, God is my father, and we are his children. Now, it's talking about the perfect parent here. It's not talking about, we may or may not have had a good relationship with our fathers. That's not what this is talking about. God is the father, capital F. God is the perfect parent. So if you think of the perfect parent who delights in you, loves you more than you can begin to comprehend with your mind, you are the best thing. They treasure you. They delight in you. They want to spend time with you. You are the apple of their eye. They love you so much they can't take their eyes off you, as a beautiful, wise OA member once told me. God loves me so much, cannot take God's eyes off me. Treasures me, delights in me, wants to hold me and just, oh, just delights in me. That is what the big book is trying to give me, this image here, that God is a father, I am his child. And so the perfect parent, you think of the perfect parent, I can trust that not only do they have my back and want only the best for me, that they I want me to nothing more than to assure me that I am safe, I am protected, and that I am well cared for, and all my needs will be met with divine abundance. So I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry. In fact, I can spend time just relaxing and being held in those loving arms and just being held in infinite love, in infinite compassion, in infinite mercy. It's okay, baby girl. Sweet Donnie. My higher power calls me Donnie. It's okay. I've got you. All is well. All is well. We're as children. And it goes on to say, most good ideas are simple, and this concept is the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. So keystone is the most important stone in an arch for the success of the arch. And this concept, what we have just talked about here, me not playing God, God being my director, giving me my lines, telling me how, helping me know how to act, telling me what to say, me pausing and asking for what to say, God being the principal, me working for God's goals, not mine, and God being my father who delights in me and loves me so much he can't take his eyes off me. This is the keystone, the most important stone of the success of this arch through which I will pass to freedom. This is a foundational concept, and it is, and the success of the rest of us, our journey, our recovery journey this is foundational to the success of that. So the keystone is a large wedge-shaped stone in the center top of the arch, and all the other stones press in on it. So it has to be really strong, and it has to be really solid. And so this is something I get to practice, not just one time, but it's an ongoing practice, a daily practice of God being my director, of me not playing God. It's something I revisit multiple times throughout the day. And it creates this triumphant arch through which I pass to freedom. And then on the top of page 63, and when I sincerely take such a position, all sorts of remarkable things happen. One, I have a new employer, and God, being all powerful, provides me with what I need. So now I'm no longer relying on my shaky abilities. I'm relying on the creator of the universe's abilities. And I can, any good employer is not going to send their employee out without giving them absolutely everything that they need to be able to be successful. So I get to relax and rely on my higher power's abilities. And if I keep close to him, so God provides what I need when I keep close to him and perform my work well. No, God's work well. So I'm looking for what is God's will. So established on such a footing, we become less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs, and we become more and more interested in seeing what we can contribute to life. This is a dramatic change from where we were. And footing is a structural architectural term. It goes below the foundation. It again is responsible for the success of the whole building, which is going to be put on top of it. So this is a foundational concept here. As we feel new power flow in, as we enjoy peace of mind, as we discover we can face life successfully, as we become conscious of God's presence, we begin to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We are reborn. Wow. It's relaxing just to even read this. And now we're at step three, and we now say to our maker as we understand him, God, I offer myself to thee. I just visualize myself, as a brick, a piece of building material being handed into God's hands, placing myself, my whole life into God's hands and saying to God, build with me and do with me as thou wilt. So I'm saying, whatever you're building, God, I don't know what it is. I may have thought my life needed to be looking like, a bridge, but you wanted me to be a house. Whatever it is, God, I'm on board. Whatever your will is, I accept it, I welcome it, and I say, thank you. May your will be done, not mine. And then it says, relieve me of the bondage of self. And relieve is a military term. It's a relieving of a soldier from duty. So God is telling me, relieve me of the bondage of self. Stand down, soldier. Donnie, you get to stand down. You no longer need to have this hypervigilance. You get to relax. because I am in charge. I am running the show. Stand down. Relieve me of the bondage of self. The bondage of self is me thinking I have to be hypervigilant. I have to make this work out. I have to do it on my own. And God is saying, let me carry all this for you, sweet one. I'm here for you, precious Donnie. Relax in my loving presence. Let me carry all of this for you, sweet one. And then just finishing up here, the take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And then the most important line to me here is, so that I make sure I'm ready for this so I could at last abandon myself utterly to him. I will say this as a walking meditation. I abandon myself utterly to you, God. I just place myself into your hands and I abandon myself utterly to you. May your will be done, not mine. May your will be my only goal. May we relax and put ourselves in God's arms and make God's will our only goal. All right, that's all I have. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Thank you so much for your presence, for your God's will be done, not mine. Amen. That's all I have. Thank you so much. It was lovely to talk with you today. Thank you so much. That's all I have. Thank you.